जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radhe. Jaya Gauranitai 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Prabhupad, 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 Jaya, Jaya, Prabhupad.
Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Pariviraja Kacharya Stotra Shita Shri Madhabhe Charanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Pariviraja Kacharya Stotra Shita Shri Madhabhakti Siddhanta Sattvati Goswami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindi Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudiret nasht praeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagvata sevaya bhagvati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 28, entitled Jnana Yoga. And the shloka is shloka number 43. So, well, it's supposed to be 42, so we'll read, I'll take 42 and you can read 43 and 42 both. Nahi tad kushal adrityam, tad ayasohi aprathakaha, antavatvacha charirisya, falaseva vanaspatehe. Nahi tad kushal adrityam tad ayasohi aprithakah anta vatva charirasya falaseva vanaspatehe nahi tad kushal adrityam tad ayasohi aprithakah Antvatatvach charirasya ఫలస్యేవ వనస్పతేః. నహి తత్ కుశలాదృత్యం తద్ ఆయాసో హి అపార్థకః అంతవత్వా శరీరస్య ఫలస్యేవ వనస్పతేః. నహి తత్ కుశలాదృత్యం తద్ ఆయాసో హి అపార్థకః అంతవత్వా శరీరస్య ఫలస్యేవ వనస్పతేః. నహి తత్ కుశలాదృత్యం తద్ ఆయాసో హి అపార్థకః అంతవత్వా శరీరస్య ఫలస్యేవ వనస్పతేః. న న నాట్ హి ఇండీడ్ తత్ దాట్ కుశల్ బై దోస్ ఎక్స్పర్ట్ ఇన్ ట్రాన్స్డెంటల్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆదృత్యం టు బి రెస్పెక్టెడ్ తత్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ ఆయస ద ఎండెవర్ హి సర్టన్లీ ఆపర్థక useless antavatvat because of being subject to destruction sharirasya on the part of the material body phalasya of the fruit eva just as vanaspatih of a tree translation and purport by the disciples of his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This mystic bodily perfection is not valued very highly by those expert in transcendental knowledge. Indeed, they consider endeavor for such perfection useless. Since the soul, like a tree, is permanent, but the body, like a tree's fruit, is subject to destruction. Purport. The example given here is of a tree that seasonally bears fruit. The fruit exists for a very short time, whereas the tree may exist for thousands of years. Similarly, the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the material body, even when preserved as long as possible, is destroyed relatively quickly. The body should never be equated with the eternally existing spirit soul. Those who are actually intelligent, who actually have spiritual knowledge, are not interested in material mystic perfections. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మయ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌర్ద్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ ఋషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభయైవ చ పతితానామ పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాస్ ఆది గౌర భక్తవృంద. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nahi tat kushal adrityam, tad ayasuhi apathaka, antavatvach charirasya, falasseva vanaspatehe. This mystic bodily perfection is not valued very highly by those expert in transcendental knowledge. Indeed, they consider endeavor for such perfection useless, since the soul, like a tree, is permanent. But the body, like a tree's fruit, is subject to destruction. Hare Krishna. So, seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, so that I may speak something from my own birthright, from my own purification, and whatever possible as for my capacity for the inspiration of the devotees. So, the festivals continue. It was not mentioned in the Vaishnava calendar, I suppose, but the Dwadashi day was the appearance day of Kurmadev and Parshuram. Before that was Ekadashi, then we had Narasimha Chaturdashi, and today we have a list of festivals. So that's like Shalil Vihar, Radharaman appearance day, Madhvendrapuri appearance day, Srinivas Acharya appearance day, and Parmeshwari Das disappearance day. And though the Vaishnava calendar mentions both the Purnima, I think they're slightly mistaken. Someone may have to check it. That is based on what the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya says. It has to be 2 days afterwards. But any case, we'll take it because it is mentioned. So, it'll be difficult to do justification for all these festivals at a single time and the shloka itself. So I'll try my best within the time limit to cover everything as far as possible, humanly possible. So first, we'll see the purpose of this chapter. First, two purposes that Jiva Goswami mentions, and one that Vishwanath Chavi Thakur hints. First is comparing the ease of Bhakti Yoga to the much more difficult practice of Gyan Yoga. Second is to help the devotees deepen their practice of Bhakti Yoga through knowledge. And third, this is what Vishwanath Chavi Thakur hints. Actually, if you see, even in the narration of Shukdev Goswami, just before Parikshit Maharaj is ready to leave his body, he starts some verses with Gyan Yoga. Now this is very surprising because Parikshit Maharaj is just about to leave. And definitely you expect the essence of all knowledge, Bhakti Yoga, should be glorified. But just at that time it seems that Shukdev Guru Maharaj thinks, you know, that what have I done in front of such a large assembly? I have revealed the secret, the most confidential knowledge of Bhakti Yoga. And Krishna himself says, you know, immediately after the shloka of Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja, just after he has given this confidential knowledge, immediately he says, Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktyasya kadachan. So he says four type of people, they should not be given this knowledge. Right, who have not performed the requisite austerities, who are not austere, they have not performed the requisite tapasya. This is what he says. Na tapaskaya, na bhaktasya, those who are not devotees. Secondly, one who are not following the path of devotional service. And fourthly, one who is envious. And in a large assembly that Shukdev Goswami Maharaj was addressing, it is very difficult to say what the consciousness or what the level of the different people, the sages who were there was. So Shukdev was Maharaj actually feels in his heart, you know, what have I done? How come I have revealed this most confidential knowledge in front of everyone? So then he again starts glorifying Gyan Yoga. But at the same time, he also uses this opportunity to test Shukdev Goswami. Has he really understood the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam? Shukdev Maharaj, and immediately Parikshit Maharaj says, no, it's done, I'm done with it, you know. My mind is already focused on Krishna and I'm ready to leave. And Shukdev Maharaj is very happy to see the response of Parikshit Maharaj. He's jubilant that he's taken the essence. So this is what Krishna actually does, even throughout the Bhagavad Gita, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vishwanath Thakur says that this chapter, in fact, Bhanu Maharaj entitles this chapter, which is entitled as Gyan Yoga in this in the BBT translation, as Advaitavad. Alright? So this chapter can be read considering both the philosophies in mind. That is Vivartavad and Parinamvad. Vivartavad is the foundation of the Advait philosophy or the monistic philosophy. And the Parinamvad is the basis for devotional service or Bhakti Yoga. So in this way, Krishna, while narrating to Uddhav, is actually intertwining Jnana and Bhakti Yoga for many aspects. And one more aspect which is actually highlighted here is in this section that he is saying how a Jnana Yogi should overcome his obstacles. This is the compassion of the Lord. So at the same time, he is saying how one should overcome the obstacles. So he's showing his compassion in two ways. One is by keeping the devotees, the non-devotees away from the conventional knowledge. At the same time, hinting the Jnana Yogis, just two shlokas before. Right? If you have these obstacles, the best way is to always remember Krishna, glorify his holy names, and take the shelter of the Mahajans. So he's going on, you know, intertwining these aspects of Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga for so many reasons. And here he gives a very beautiful example. The example of a tree. So now we'll come to the shloka after we have just taken the synopsis of the chapter. And he says that how the soul is compared to the tree and the fruits are compared to the body. So the fruits are basically the subtle and the gross bodies. They are compared to the fruits of the soul that is like a tree. Now here the time aspect has been taken in the comparison. So the tree lives for quite a long time compared to the momentary existence of the fruit. Now similarly, very interesting, the same example is used by Shukracharya. And in a very relevant way actually, when he's actually trying to desist Bali Maharaj from giving charity to Lord Vishnu. So he says, Satyam Pushpam Filam Vidyat. So he says, this body is like a tree. And the fruits are the eternal aspect of what the soul has gained. So here it is reversed. In the sense, even if you have to realize the absolute truth, you need the help of the body, which is based on untruth. So even the absolute truth to be realized has to take some aspect of untruth, that is the body. That is how he's trying to relate this. And here it is reverse, right? So this can be actually, this apparent contradiction can be harmonized by the fact that when Prabhupada actually quotes in these shlokas in the purport, and he quotes Rupa Goswami definitely, by saying, Mumukshiba parityago vairagyam falgu katyate. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yukta vairagyam uchyate. So that how the body has to be properly used in Krishna's service. And that's why just before this shloka comes, he's giving many remedies, you know, of how the mental disturbances, the physical disturbances are overcome by taking shelter of the Lord, his devotees, and various mantras, various herbs. And in the next shloka, again this aspect is highlighted, and the purport, and I leave it for the speaker tomorrow to actually elaborate on that. But just to touch this, that how the body is taken care automatically by performing devotional service. You know, you don't have to take separate care of the body. So the emphasis here is that one should not absorb his consciousness in the body with the help of yoga. The automatic byproduct of doing yoga is one automatically takes care of his body. This is a very interesting concept. And one can really appreciate if one is having mental and bodily disturbances. How is that? And the BB Prabhupada says that just by dancing in front of the deities, and Prabhupada mentions this in the, I think it's in the fourth chapter, that just by dancing in front of the deities in ecstasy, one automatically performs the different limbs of Ashtang Yoga. And in this case, it's Pranayama. Right? So we have, if you see the schedule also as set in the Yoga of Bhakti, so a devotee gets up in Brahma Muhurat. For health, that's the most auspicious time, the most best time to get up. Now, I'm not taking the bhakti aspect of all these, but I'm just trying to highlight how the body is taken care of. So even if you are the medical experts, yes, this is the best time to get up for the body. Right? Secondly, the dancing aspect is just before you sit for meditating, that is dhyan, you perform pranayam by dancing in front of the deities. Yeah? Even in case of the different mudras that are performed for actually converting the bhoga to nectar so that it can be offered to the Lord. The different mudras actually in terms of Ayurveda and health sciences activate different aspects of the body so it can remain, it has therapeutic effect. Right? And then whatever is offered comes as prasad. Now if you see the tradition of Vedic culture, whatever is offered to Vishnu is according to seasons. So whatever is offered is according to what can be accepted as food in that particular season. Whatever is offered to Lord Shiva is actually signifies that this should not be taken anymore. Right? This is not seasonal. So that is why prasad of Lord Shiva is usually not accepted. And prasad of Lord Vishnu is accepted. So in this way, even in Bhakti Yoga, the bodily concept is automatically taken care of if one strictly follows. So the rituals, yes, the rituals apparently should not overcome the intent aspect, but they nevertheless are necessary for keeping the body, mind and spirit in harmony. You cannot neglect them. Right? So that's the aspect. So, moving forward, this is highlighted by the story of Sanatan Goswami that Prachandra Prabhu just a few days before elaborated in a nice way, but I just glimpsed through it. And then we'll move forward to the different festivals. Yesterday was Nar Hari, and I'll take shelter of Gaur Hari to elaborate the different festivals. So in the first pastimes of Gaur Hari, which relates to this shloka, is the story of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami's body is contaminated with all the pus and all the blood that is oozing out of the pus. And Mahaprabhu goes on, you know, embracing again and again and again. And Sanatana Goswami is apparently very disturbed. He says, Mahaprabhu, how can you do that, you know? My body is contaminated, you know, going and embracing me again and again. It makes me so uneasy, so uncomfortable. How can you do that? And interestingly, Mahaprabhu starts quoting from the 11th canto, these same chapters, 28 and 29, to justify what he is doing. And when he starts quoting, Haridas Thakur says, no, no, this is all formality, I don't believe, you know. So he is actually trying to say what a sannyasi dharma is and how Vidya Vinaya Sampanna. He quotes from the Bhagavatam, then he quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, that how, you know, Pandita Sam Darshina, sannyasi is supposed to be Sam. You know, he does not distinguish. This duality, and this is what he really quotes, Dvaita Bhadra Abhadra Jnana Sabha Mano Dharma Ehi Bhala Ehi Manda Ehi Sabha Brahma. So this is auspicious, that is inauspicious, this is all mental speculation. This Dvaitvar is only on the platform of material existence. Spiritually it does not exist, right? So this is all on the bodily concept, you know, this is all the material concept. Actually, everything for a sannyasi who has taken shelter of the Lord, everything is Pandita Samdarshina. And Haridas Thakur says, no, 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 you are just being very formal. And Mahaprabhu then laughs. He says, okay, let me get over this formal thing. But honestly speaking, now I'm speaking from my heart. If you think this was formality, now I'm speaking from my heart. You all are like my children. And I think that you have to be maintained by me. I'm like your maintainer. A child is maintained by her mother. I am like your mother. And for a mother, the child's stool is as good as, you know, sandalwood paste, camphor, and aguru, and saffron all mixed together. It's as fragrant as that. So this, Sanatana Goswami thinks, you know, that I am getting contaminated, but I am actually purified by touching his body. Right? And then he quotes the Bhakti Shastras. That how Diksha kale bhaktkari atma samarpan. That how at the time of Diksha, The devotee actually surrenders his, himself to the spiritual master and the supreme lord. And immediately his body becomes spiritual. Yeah? So as soon as one thing sees everything in relation to Krishna, he is properly situated. That is how he can overcome the duality aspect. So in any case, we'll continue with the theme, but I'll try to intertwine the theme with the different festivals that we are celebrating today, so that all the festivals are also covered to some extent, and we continue with the theme. So, taking shelter of Lord Gaurahari, who is known as Chaitanya Siha. Chaitanya Siha ra Navadvipa avatar, Siha Griva Siha Virya Siha Hunkar. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Chaitanya Siha or Gaurahari. Yeah, Hari also means Siha. So many reasons. And here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is hinting some of the reasons. He says Chaitanya Griva, his shoulders, his broad chest, his shoulders are just like a lion. Right? Siya Vira, he's as powerful as a lion. Right? And interestingly, he is also born in Siya Rashi and Siya Lagna. Alright? So Siya Rashi is when the moon is in the Siya Rashi. That is what is implied by Siya Rashi here. It's not the sun. And at the same time, Siya Lagna is that Siya Nakshatra is the accident, is the ascendant. That means it's rising on the horizon. Alright? So, in this way, Lord Narsingha Dev, Lord Chaitanya is considered as Chaitanya Siha. And more importantly, his hunkar is like, his crying out loud is like that of a lion. And what does he do by that? He loudly chants, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And by doing that, he removes the elephantine-like vices which are residing in the heart of his devotees, and then places himself inside in their hearts. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is compared to a Siya. Interestingly also, it is in this month of Vaishak that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts his South India Yatra. Yeah? So I take shelter of the South India Yatra to glorify all the festivals and Lord Chaitanya Siya, who actually exhibits again this aspect of Siya. Yeah, since we have just celebrated Narhari's festival yesterday, today we celebrate Gaurahari's festival. So, as soon as he starts this yatra of his, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Matasiya Praya Prabhu Karila Gaman Prema Veshayai Kari Namasankirtan. Almost like a mad lion, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on this tour, filled with ecstatic love and performing Sankirtan, chanting Krishna's names. Ei shloka padi pate chalila Gaurahari Loka dekhi pate kae bola hari hari. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induces everyone, you know, by his mad dancing like a lion and his loud roaring of Hari, Hari. This is where he actually is inducing all people to take up to devotional service. Now interestingly, the first place that he comes to is, anyone remembers? The first place that is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in this South India Yatra. So he starts from Malalnath, and the first place that he comes is Kurmakshetra. So that's the first festival. You can actually add this in the Vaishnava calendar. It was not there. It was celebrated on the Dwadashi day. Yeah, this is the Jayanti of Kurma. So the first is Kurma Jayanti, and this is the first place that he comes. So interestingly, if you see, probably Lord Chaitanya reached there when the Kurma Jayanti was there. You know, the Kurma festival, the Kurma Jayanti festival was being celebrated at this temple, because it's not very far. It's about 300 kilometers or so. So it's about 14-15 days that the Vaishak month has started. So probably he reached there, right? Or maybe near about there. So it is at this place that he has darshan. And interestingly, even in the storyline of Sanatan Goswami, this is what has been mentioned, you know. When actually Haridas Thakur is saying of this, you are being formal, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately shows his affection. Then Haridas Thakur actually recollects and he says, Vasudeva galat kushti tatyanga kidamhe tare alingana kaila hoye sade. Even you actually display this very same aspect of your affection by embracing the body of Vasudev Vipra. Right? And this pastime takes actually at Kurmakshetra. Just front of this Kurma deity, or this Kurma temple, is the temple of Lord Narasimhadev. And this is just established by the king there, Narahiritirtha, who comes in the Madhva Sampradaya. And he also interestingly passes on this Ekadashi. So it's all in a nice sequence, you know. He passes on this Ekadashi just after he has completed this temple of Lord Narasimhadev. So you won't be surprised if Mahaprabhu actually celebrated both Kurma Jayanti and Narasimha Jayanti, probably here, because both temples were there. Or probably he celebrated Narasimha Jayanti when he reached his next destination. What was his next destination? Jayar Narasimha. Right? Sihachalam. That's not very far again. It's just 100 kilometers. So maybe another 3-4 days and he's just there right in time for Narasimha Chaturdashi. Right? And there he again starts dancing like a mad lion. And starts glorifying Lord Narasimhadev there. And he quotes many shlokas which actually Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, you know, Shri Narasingha, Jai Narasingha, Jai Jai Narasingha, Praladeshe Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma, Bhringa. And he goes on quoting, you know. Now very interesting in the story of Prahlad Maharaj. As Nandulal Prabhu was quoting yesterday, you know, that it was by the siksha of Prahlad Maharaj that Bali Maharaj was able to take devotional service and be firmly established in it. Another aspect, now coming back to the shloka, is the point of understanding this dual, non-dual aspect. Right? So again we see this this aspect which is highlighted in Srimad Bhagavatam again and again. Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramateti bhagavaniti shabdate. So this advayam aspect or non-dual aspect is only properly realized by the person who is understanding the different aspects of this absolute truth. Otherwise, it is always situated in duality. Alright. After this, actually Mahaprabhu is going to reach Rajamundry, where he is going to meet Ramanandra. And Ramanandra actually in his dialogue quotes this aspect very nicely, where he says, Thavar jangam dekhe, na dekhe, taro murti. Sarvatra hoye nija, ishta deva spurti. That the devotee who is properly situated in devotional service does not see this duality. Why? Because he is properly situated in the non-dual aspect. And this is very nicely highlighted by the storyline of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj, interestingly, you know, in the last concluding aspect of this chapter, the Lord is saying that why the non-dual aspect does not, or the duality does not disturb the devotee, is because he is situated in his own joy of non-dual observance or non-dual aspect. And how he is situated? Because he is able to see his Lord everywhere. So Prahlad Maharaj was not artificially trying to understand. You know, that is why Haridas Thakur is saying that your, you know, aspect of saying that, you know, well, as a sannyasi, I cannot see, I cannot make differences, and quoting so many shlokas of Vidaya Vinaya Sampanne and all that stuff is fine, it's okay. Yeah, that's the aspect of Gyan. But what is the real aspect? Is the devotee actually perceives the Lord. He is able to have the vision of the Lord in whatever situation. And this is very nicely highlighted by the aspect of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, when he is thrown among the snakes, what does he see? He says, well, the snakes have come from the sea and show has Lakshmi Devi. So they are related. Right? Lakshmi Devi is my mother. So when he is thrown on the earth, he sees, seeing actually that I am going to land on the lap of my mother. It's not a theoretical justification that he's trying to make in his mind. No. Actually, he's perceiving like that. And at Sihachalam, where he's thrown in the ocean, the Lord actually appears as Varanarsiya. And that is what Prahlad Maharaj is able to see. So he's absolutely fearless. Right? He's absolutely perceived because he's actually able to perceive the Lord. Yeah, this purti is there. In any situation, he's able to perceive the Lord. So he sees the Lord as Yadnarsiya there. And when he's going to hit the pillar, you know, Hiranyakashipu is going to actually smash the pillar. This pillar, interestingly, some of the acharyas says, is his Vijayastam. You know, he's actually written all the kings that he has conquered on this pillar. This is his Vijayastam. Is that good? Is there? That's what he says. Is he there also? You know, I have conquered everyone. Right? So is he there? And just when he's going to about to hit, actually Prahlad Maharaj sees Narasimha Dev sitting on the pillar on the top. He says, yeah, don't worry, I'm there. You know? So this is what Prahlad Maharaj's vision is. Now this is all not mentioned in the Bhagavatam in detail. But definitely, this is what he has told to Bali Maharaj. Because these are confidential aspects. It cannot be, you know, highlighted in an open assembly. But because Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj have that affectionate bondage, definitely what he has told, definitely this is what he has actually told him. You know, how was he able to overcome all these disturbances? By perceiving the Lord. By perceiving the Lord. And this again is highlighted by Srila Prabhupada in his purport. I think it's to the 20th chapter when Bali Maharaj is going to surrender. Or to the 22nd chapter when Bali Maharaj is going to surrender. And says, Bali Maharaj is very determined to fulfill his promise. So Bali Maharaj is, you know, remembering the determination of all his predecessors. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, how they were determined. Because they were determined, they were actually able to reach some element of success, materially maybe. But then his mind stops at thinking of the determination of Prahlad Maharaj. That is where his mind stops. This is when he starts recollecting what, how Prahlad Maharaj was able to overcome all these obstacles. And he decides, no, I have to surrender to Lord Vishnu. I will not obey my spiritual master. Right? Because he has been instructed by Prahlad Maharaj already in these confidential topics. That is why the confidential aspect of devotional service is only brought forth when there is sneha. Right? When there is affection between the spiritual master and the disciple. It is then that actually everything of this comes out or blossoms. So next, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Rajamundry and there he discusses with Ramanand Rai. Now Ramanand Rai, interestingly, because his disappearance day will also be there after a week now. So probably this is the same time, the first time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ramanand Rai, you know. Probably Ramanand Rai is recollecting all this when he's passing away. The same period, time period, interestingly. So he comes and he highlights this aspect of Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga and gives a very nice comparison actually. Very interesting, very striking, very graphic. And again, he quotes the analogy of a tree. So quite relevant to what we are discussing also. Says, Arasa Jnana Kaka, Chushe Jnana Nimpa Phale, Rasagya Kokila Khaye, Premara Mukule. So he compares the empiric philosophers like crows. Says the crow-like empiric philosophers are always tasting the bitter fruit of the nimba tree. The nimba tree of knowledge. So here the tree is compared to the tree of knowledge, you know, the nigam kalpatarupa. But this is in aspect of understanding in terms of gyan yoga. So he says they are like crows. And the devotees who are like cuckoos, because they are always sweetly singing the holy names of the Lord, the holy pastimes of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's why they are always interested in tasting the nectar of the buds of the mango tree. Right? Here it is again Nigam Kalpatrugal, where the ripened fruit, the mango fruit of Srimad Bhagavatam comes into picture. So this is how he compares the empiric philosophers and those taking shelter of Bhakti Yoga. Both of them want to realize the non-dual aspect. But for the empiric philosopher it is very difficult. While for the devotee it becomes very easy. Then he moves forward and he comes, you know, visits many places. But then he comes to an interesting kshetra called Baudha Kshetra. Right? And Lord Buddha is glorified in Bhagavatam in many verses. Namo Buddhaya Shuddhaya Daita Danava Mohine. Yeah. So, interestingly, Bhaktisiddhanta Reddy Thakur, and this has been elaborated by Srila Prabhupada Sannyas Guru, Bhakti Pragya Keshava Maharaj, that how There were two Buddhas actually. So today's Buddha Jayanti technically is Gautam Buddha. It's not Vishnu Avatar Buddha. Right? So if you see the Gaudiya Shastra, it is supposed to be 2 days later. The Vishnu Avatar takes place 2 days later. It's not today. Someone can actually cross-check and verify. Today is basically the Sankhya Siha. He's popularly known as Sankhya Siha, is the Gautam Buddha. The Vishnu Avatar Buddha is different from this. But this was mixed deliberately by none other than Shankaracharya. Right? Because he said this Bodh Tattva, or the aspect of Bodh, can be reached by anyone. Yeah. So he's the one who actually intertwined these two and made it appear as one. But actually they're two different. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Ray Thakur says, and even Bhakti Pragya Keshav Maharaj actually highlights. Now when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes here, he picks up an argument with them. And that's not our way actually, because the main pramanas that we take are not logic and argument, but pratyaksh, anuman and shabd. So though there are 10 pramanas, the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Vaishnava Sampradaya mainly relies on these 3 pramanas. It does not take the aspect of logic and argument very seriously. But the Bodhs base their philosophy and logic and argument. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to destroy their pride, actually takes up an argument with them. Very interesting, because I'm not going into the details, we are short of time. And we have to still cover a couple of more. So just to give you a hint, the Bodhisiddhanta actually does not accept the aspect of Atma. So he says everything is a Atma. Right? So he says everything is like an aggregate of Roop, that is form, feeling, perception, and discrimination, which is says as wisdom. And all these aggregates, they come together. But individually, consciousness does not, stay in them. Only when they come together, there is an aspect of consciousness. Right? And they give this analogy of the chariot. Same chariot analogy that comes in the Katha Upanishad and that the devotees quote, you know. How the reins are like the mind and the chariot driver is like the intelligence and everything, all the horses and all that stuff. But they say, all this, all these aspects, like the different parts of the chariot, the aggregates of the chariot, come together. But if all these aggregates are removed, there is nothing left. Similarly, the body of the time of death goes into the void. Interesting analogy, right? But what they forget is that the chariot has to be there for someone. And that's the chariot driver, the soul. So Buddha actually never says that there is no soul. He does not make such a drastic comment. Right? But he says, this is not soul, this is not soul, this is not soul, and this is not soul. So everything is void. But he does not make a clear statement that there is no existence of soul. Now this is what actually Prabhupada's pranam mantra is. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatarine. So this is the same type of Buddhist philosophy that exists today. Interestingly, it's existed in all times, you know, and in form of Mayavad or Bodhvad, they are nearly the same, but still not the same, because actually the concept of Brahma comes, which is quite very close to the concept of void that Shankaracharya tells. And interestingly, to make this comparison seem more authorized, he quotes from the Narsiya Tapani Upanishad again. Right, again Lord Narasimhadev comes in picture. He quotes from there where actually he gets a phrase where he is able to compare the Shunyavad, the Shunya aspect of the Bodh philosophy to the Brahma aspect. Right? And that is how he actually mixes them both and covers the whole thing. So, this philosophy actually, it's a philosophy. Now it comes into prominence by different people, and that's how, you know, it gets different names as Buddhism or Mayavad and Shunyavad and all that aspects. But it exists all the time and it's glorified in different ages by different people. So Prahlad Maharaj is glorifying a devotional service, and Alhad, his brother, his son, actually is one who glorifies this aspect of Shunyavad. and who is delivered by Varadev. So I'm just, but there are many aspects here. And in today's, in context, you can see that it is highlighted by the reductionist, materialist or physicalism or biological naturalism. Very little difference, but still, how they highlight Shunyavad. Now, physicalism says that, you know, according to all the known laws of physics, everything is just a conglomerate of matter, just very close, you know, to what Buddhism is saying. And so this concept of consciousness actually does not exist. It's an illusion created by all these conglomerates, all these different parts coming together. Right? And biological naturalism is just a step further. He says, no. Consciousness, well, is real, but it is an aspect of brain. Right? The brain actually creates this consciousness. So what they are trying to say is that the spirit is dependent on matter, which itself is very illogical. Right? But the thing is, they are not treating consciousness as spirit. So that is why they are coming to this conclusion that, well, no, consciousness is not an illusion as what the physicalism explains, but it is real, but dependent upon matter. Right? So all these aspects of Buddhism, and Prabhupada writes, because they take, their foundation is based on logic and argument, a devotee should defeat by logic and argument, though the devotee actually does not take part or relish logic and argument. So the scientist, says so many wonderful imaginative theories. Again, I think it was Bhachandra Prabhu Shlok, you know, where this aspect of imaginative theories of material scientists come. And they also say, you know, that everything has come finally from the singular point of nothingness. Again, very close semblance to Shunyavad, voidism. Right? So you are ready to take this singularity and equate it to voidism, and the devotees are taking this singularity as absolute truth. They are being as imaginative as you. What is the problem? Right? There is no problem at all. You know, they again explain the concept of dark matter and dark energy, which they do not know what it is. And they cannot access with their senses. And Vishwanath Chakri Thakur says the same thing about the Bhumandal. Says, well, the different oceans, the different dvipas were made inaccessible by the chariot wheel of Priyavat Maharaj. So how it was done is not explained. So how the thing of dark matter came is not understood by the scientists. But if they are being imaginative, why can't we be imaginative? Right? Why we have to really support? They say, well, it cannot be accepted by the senses, but it exists. So that's the same thing that we are saying. It exists, but it cannot be accessed by the senses. Right? So they take shelter of these imaginative theories and use logic and argument to put forward their point. And so devotees should use logic and argument to put their point. So anyhow, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moves forward, and then he comes to the place of, many places in between, but I'm just moving forward to the place of Srirangam, place of Gopal Bhatt Goswami. Where he actually shows mercy to Gopal Bhatt Goswami. Gopal Bhatt Goswami takes the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and goes to Vrindavan, meets Rupa and Sanatana Goswami there. Interestingly, he does not go to Jagannath Puri where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is residing, because he has got an instruction that he should immediately go and take shelter of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami is there. And under there, and as soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to know that, he immediately sends articles to Gopal Bhatt Goswami, his seat, his kopin and his bhair vastra. Interestingly, if you go at Gaur Purnima, I was fortunate to go there this time at Radharaman temple, they display this bhair vastra of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during that time, and you can have darshan of this bhair vastra. All the articles are still there at this Radharaman temple. So these are the articles they gave to Gopal Bhatt Goswami, and Gopal Bhatt Goswami understanding is that Tadiya worships all these articles. But as soon as he realizes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has passed away, he becomes very morose and becomes very disturbed. And in his love of separation, he is hardly able to keep his life together. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to relieve him of this distress, actually comes in his dream. It says, you go to Nepal and get some Shaligram Shilas from there and worship these Shaligram Shilas. Right? And when... I'm just cutting all the story short. And Gopal Bhatt Goswami goes to Nepal. He gets all these Shaligram Shilas. All of you know how he gets the Shaligram Shila. Interesting, this Damodar Shila, you know, is also a form of Kurma Chaitanya. Is the aspect of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he would actually, withdraw all his senses inside. and take the form of kurma, right? And that is why also Radharaman actually appear, because they are a combined form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from this Damodar Shila actually on this day. So it's during this celebration of Narasimha Chaturdashi, and definitely, you know, Gopal Bhatt Goswami is again in hearing this verse. What is that verse? Satya Bhashitam. Satyam Vidhatum. Nijapratya Bhashitam. Right? How Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to keep the word of his devotee, actually appeared from this pillar. And he's thinking this story and many more pastimes. I'm not going into the details. But when he's meditating on this, he thinks, why not? Can the Lord then appear from a Shaligram Shila? Because just then, a merchant has given him all these, different articles to decorate the Shaligram Shila. And he's saying, I cannot, you know, use all these articles because they don't have a form. And then he's remembering all these verses, because that's what is going on all over in Vrindavan that time. The glorification of Narasimhadeva. And he's meditating on that. And when he's meditating and he's morose, it is just the next day when he gets up, you know, he actually has these Shaligram Shilas. He doesn't have a proper temple. So he has, you know, actually hung all these Shaligram Shila on the tree. And when he goes there, he says that Lord Anandev, actually like a snake, is on the Shaligram Shila. He prays them, please, you know, Anandev, it's time for worship. So if you leave, I can actually take. And when he goes there, he's amazed to find, oh, one of the Damodar Shilas has actually taken this form of Radharaman. And again, interesting, because Radharaman is compared, his face is compared to Govindev, his Vakshal is compared to Gopinath, and his feet are compared to Madan Gopal. Because before this, Gopal Bhatt Goswami is worshipping all these deities in different capacities. So his meditation is always these three deities. And his meditation takes the form of the Lord as Radharaman, who's non-different from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who's non-different from these three deities, who are actually the meditation of Gopal Bhatt Goswami. So it is this meditation of Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami that manifests as Radharaman. Alright? And when Gopal Bhatt Goswami actually has darshan of the deities, he's just overcome by ecstasy. And then Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami all come and visit. They name the deities as Radharaman. Krishna, who always takes pleasure in Srimati Radharani. But also because the combined form of Radha and Krishna, that is why they are not different from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows his form to Gopal Bhatt Goswami. Right? So in this way, Gopal Bhatt Goswami is very fortunate. You know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in his dream. Now this dream aspect is again highlighted in the story of Madhavendra Puri, whose appearance day it is today. I don't know whoever it was. Who gave the lecture on when it began on Akshaya Tritiya. It was Gaurang Priya Prabhu. Was it on Akshaya Tritiya? I'm not sure. But anyhow, the story of Gaurang Priya Prabhu, right? The storyline of Madhavendra Puri was not there. So some justification, maybe just 5 minutes more. I'm already over time. So Madhavendra Puri, you know, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually glorifying Sri Madhavendra Puri. And he highlights the fortune and the activities of Madhavendra Puri and glorifies that. And we can appreciate this aspect. And again, the dream aspect is, you know, highlighted how this material world is an illusion and fine, and for whatever the dreams are. But they can be much more. And this is what happens to Gopal Bhatt Goswami. He has a vision. He has a dream of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming, saying, go to Nepal and have these shilas, and the same dream-like thing that is happening to Madhavendra Puri, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually uses this to explain how he is fortunate. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says for 5 or 6 aspects that he explains why Madhavendra Puri is so fortunate. And he says to Nityananda Prabhu, Prabhu kahe Nityananda karah vichar Puri sama bhagyavan jagat nahi yaar. And he says, you know, Madhavendra Puri is so fortunate because Krishna personally appeared to him on the plea of delivering milk. 3 times the Lord gave orders to Madhavendra Puri in dreams. Right? Thirdly, being obliged because of the loving affairs of Madhavendra Puri's Lord Krishna himself appeared as Gopal deity. And accepting his service, he liberated the whole world. So these two are quite related even to Gopal Bhatt Goswami, you know. Krishna is obliged to his loving service, and that's why he manifests as Radharaman. And he appears in the dream. That's how I'm just linking them. And on account of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Gopinath stole the pot of sweet rice. Thus he became famous as Sheer Chor Gopinath. Fifthly, Madhavendra Puri smeared the sandalwood pulp over the body of Gopinath, and in this way he was overpowered with love of Godhead. So this is the fortune of Madhavendra Puri, and why so fortunate, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. And then he says, now compare his activities. And he says, Purira prema parakashta karah vichar avlokika prema chitte lage chamatkar. Say, Sri Madhavendra Puri used to remain alone. Why used to remain alone? For fear of talking about mundane things. He always avoided any companion. Of course, for us it translates, for a sadhaka it would translate that we want the companies of devotees, but ekanta means to be alone, and also means always to have the same focus. Okay? One anta, the same focus, the same goal in mind, that is to glorify Krishna. He was completely renounced. The second, he was completely renounced and always very silent. Thirdly, he was uninterested in everything material. Fourthly, after receiving the transcendental orders of Gopal, this great personality traveled thousands of miles just to collect sandalwood by begging. Although Madhavendra Puri was hungry, he would not beg food to eat. This renowned person carried a load of sandalwood for the sake of Sri Gopal. Fifthly, he did not ever consider his own personal efforts. There were so many Muslims on the way. The whole area was controlled by Muslims. There was so many tolls on the way. And the whole burden had to be carried by himself. Of course, he did get the assistance of some devotees by the mercy of Purivasis residing there. But still he took all this trouble. Right? Well, now, very interesting. Because he's taking all this trouble. He's begging. So he was of Ajgar Vitri. He never begged for himself. Right, but he begged for the pleasure of the Lord. Right? If you see, for a lineage to actually transmit the parampara in the right way, the essence of the parampara in the right way, it is very important that the experience is also transferred. This is one of the most difficult things. Right? The experiences that Madhavendra Puri are having, the experiences that Gopal Bhatt Goswami are having, the experiences that Srinivas Acharya will have, again you will see how many visions he has. I'm not going into details of that. But the point of actually transmitting that experience, and so Srila Prabhupada did this very amazingly. He introduced this concept of begging in the form of what? Book distribution. Right? So this Prabhupada writes himself, it's not my interpretation, but Prabhupada himself writes, says like for the disciples, they have to go and beg on the behalf of the guru. So says, in this age, because that is not possible, that is why I've introduced this book distribution. So in the Vedic context, yes, the disciple is begging on behalf of his guru, but in terms of experience, if you can see, the devotee does not beg on his behalf, but on behalf of Krishna. That please take this Krishna consciousness. It is through these different processes that are so beautifully being transmitted by the whole parampara that one can have the same experiences. So that is how the whole experience is actually transferred. And Srila Prabhupada was really wonderfully empowered to do that. And we can appreciate this fact by the fact that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually empowered all the Goswamis to write the literatures. But he empowered Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit to distribute these literatures, and today is the appearance of Srinivas Acharya. But if you see Prabhupada's activities, he was able to do both: translate the Goswami literatures in the English language and distribute them at the same time. So you can really appreciate the standing of what Srila Prabhupada is. So he's giving the parampara. More if you follow strictly in the line of Srila Prabhupada in all his aspects, like right from the morning program to the preaching activities. This is what even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Vasudev Vipra. Mora agya hoy tare edesh. Mora agya hoy guru tare edesh. That on my order become the spiritual marshal and preach this knowledge. Right? So, This is what even Prabhupada is actually doing. He's just, making it so relevant to the contemporary context so that you can have this experience. and then realize these different aspects of what have been mentioned here. This is the beauty of Srila Prabhupada, that he is not only giving the books, but he is actually giving the whole process in which the devotee can automatically take care of his body without actually absorbing his consciousness in it, yeah, by strictly following the morning program, and experience it at the same time by strictly in his line taking this activity of preaching, of giving Krishna consciousness, of begging on behalf of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much for watching.